You can turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, where we will begin tonight. How many of you here tonight are involved in the medical field? Any nurses, doctors? Well, we have over here. Yeah, my wife is an RN, regular nuisance. I'm going to give some facts and statistics, and you can correct me after the service tonight. The blood carries oxygen from the lungs throughout the body and returns carbon dioxide to the lungs. If this fails, we die in a few minutes. Blood carries food that has been broken down into proteins, fats, carbs, and so forth throughout the body. These are needed for metabolism. And again, products from metabolism is carried to the kidneys by the blood. Blood also transports special chemicals called hormones that regulate bodily functions. So blood is a transportation system and a communication system. Blood also is responsible for activities of the immune system. We can see blood essential to our life physically. You know, it won't take long. Go without blood for a few minutes and you're gone. Blood physically is essential. We can't live without it. But blood is also essential spiritually. The blood of Christ is essential. I just want to look at a few things that the blood of Christ, the pure blood of Christ, has an effect in our life spiritually. So beginning with Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. And we see, first of all, the price that was paid. The basis of our redemption is the blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. We have redemption through His blood. You know, anything that's going to be redeemed, there is a price that has to be paid. And that's true for us spiritually. You know, we were dead in our sins. We were lost. And we were in need of being brought back to Christ, or be brought to Christ for the first time. And it is through the blood of Christ that this happens. You know, man, because of his sin, is condemned to death. He's condemned physically. We die physically because of sin, but we also die spiritually, separated from God for all of eternity. We're lost, but there was a price that was paid. The blood of Christ set the price. God set the price for our redemption, and Christ paid that with His shed blood. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it tells us that as well, that we are saved by the blood of Christ, and that alone. Leviticus chapter 17, verse 11, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul." The blood makes an atonement. The Old Testament sacrificial system, it was based upon the shedding the blood of animals for a covering of the sin. But Christ's blood washes us whiter than snow. Thank goodness for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 down through verse 14, "But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood, He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, satisfy to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." The very basis of our redemption was the price paid by Christ in the shedding of His blood upon the cross of Calvary. And so Christ's blood provides a total redemption for our lives. Christ paid the price. His own blood paid that price. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 9, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot." That word precious is a word that describes the blood of Christ. And we could go into much detail concerning that, but His blood is precious in the fact that it purchased our redemption. Redemption is our means of the atonement made for us. And so the blood of Christ was a price paid. Then go with me to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 9. I just entitled this, "The Protection, the Ground of Our Justification." Romans chapter 5, verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified by the blood, by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him." Notice that last phrase. We shall be saved from wrath through Him. Christ paid the redemptive price with His blood. Man is condemned, or was condemned in John chapter 3 and verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." John 3, 18. "He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth is not condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." We were condemned. We were set up to face a punishment, to face the wrath of God. But the believers are protected, as it says here in Romans 5, 9. We are saved from wrath through Him, through His shed blood. We're actually delivered out of the wrath of God. We're not kept safe going through the wrath of God. We're actually kept, we're saved out of the wrath of God. In 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 1, in verse 10, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from," or out from, "the wrath to come." You know, there are those who say that we are going to be kept safe through the tribulation period. We're going to face the tribulation, but we'll be kept safe in it. That isn't what my Bible says. My Bible tells me I'm going to be out of here when the tribulation period comes. We're saved out of the wrath to come. Again, in Revelation, in chapter 3, in verse 10, "Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." I also will keep thee from. And that word "from" there is from the Greek word ek, out from, away from the wrath to come. And so we will not have to be kept safe within the tribulation. We will be kept from the tribulation. I'm looking for the upper taker, that one who is going to take me away before the tribulation begins, the separation from it. And it's not because I'm worthy of it, but it's simply because of God's great grace. His blood is not only purchased my redemption, His blood is keeping me out of the from the wrath of God. Then go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord, verse 20, not verse 10. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, having made peace through his blood. You know, Christ, while he was still here on the earth, promised peace. In John chapter 14 and verse number 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That's a great promise that God made. He promised that he would provide peace. And that peace is assured to us, as we read in John 16 and verse 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so not only did he promise peace for us, he also provided peace for us. And as you look at Romans in chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are able to have peace in our lives. Peace with God, made possible through his blood. It's the ground whereby we can know that peace is ours through Christ. I'm going to pause here for a moment. Anybody have a question, comment you want to make before we move on tonight? I don't want to do all the talking. Let you talk. No comment? No question? Snide remark? Okay, fourthly then, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13. I've entitled this, The Presence. It's a means of our nearness to the Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus. Let me go on. I'm going to go jump up to verse 11 and begin reading there. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision, the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Christ's presence, nearness, provided for us through the blood of Christ. The position that has been given to us, the position that is has made, we can, that word made nigh to Christ, that word made there is a word which simply means received. Received into his presence, into the presence of the Lord. You know, we often quote there from Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the latter part of that verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. You know, his blood provided a nearness, a constant presence of the Lord in our lives as we walk with him. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, again we read, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Come boldly under the throne. Come into his presence in prayer. You know, we enter into, tonight we were praying. We enter into a presence, into God's throne room. You know, isn't that great? To come into the presence of the Lord and to just share. You know, it's just like going in to your spouse or your child or your parents or something and just sharing your heart with them. You can go into the presence because you're always in the presence of God. And you can share all those things. You know, the distance from Christ, the barriers separating from Christ have been removed. And we have a privilege of coming into his presence. Sin separates from God. His blood removes that barrier. His blood not only covers the sin, but it takes away the sin that keeps us from His presence. Then go back to Colossians once again. Colossians in chapter 1 and in verse number 14. Entitled this, The Pardon. It's a source of forgiveness. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Speaks of the initial forgiveness, the remission from our sins, the removal of the condemnation that we were facing in our life. You know, there are some who teach that baptism, and it's really not baptism, the sprinkling, removes the initial sin. Now, water will remove a lot of things. It'll wash a lot of things off. But the blood of Christ is that which can remove the sin. Water will not remove sin. You can be baptized in the lake until you know the fish by their first name, and that still won't save you. The blood of Christ is all. But, you know, not only does it remove the initial sin, it continues to provide forgiveness. Let me ask you one of my stupid questions. How many of you have never sinned since you were saved? I had a woman tell me that once she was saved, she'd never sinned again. I told her she just did. But no, you know, we not only need forgiveness when we are saved, but we continue to need forgiveness in our lives as we go from day to day. And it's by the means of Christ's blood that we have that continual forgiveness. In 1 John chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And that word cleanses is in that which is a continual action, an ongoing action. It continually cleanses us from all sin. Every time that we come to the Lord and ask for forgiveness, His blood is sufficient to give us forgiveness at that particular time. And divine forgiveness is that which we need in our lives. It's a penalty has been removed, and it continues to be removed. Forgiveness is an encouragement to obedience. Recognizing what Christ did for us in providing forgiveness ought to encourage us to walk with the Lord, to be in His presence. And then number 6, I entitled that The Power. The secret of our victory. Go back with me to Revelation chapter 12 and in verse number 11. Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11. And they overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. And of course, you go to the previous verses, and it speaks about Satan, the old deceiver, that one who accuses the saints and so forth. But they said they overcame them by the blood of the Lamb. It's a secret of our victory in Christ, that we can overcome the devil, not in our own strength, but through the blood of Christ. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, He also Himself likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we cannot live a victorious life on our own. And we stumble and fall often. And we need victory in our life. That word overcome, it means to conquer, to come off victorious. And we can come off victorious through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Victory only comes through His blood. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 37, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And I want to connect that with Romans and chapter 1 and verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Through the blood of Christ, we are able to have victory. You know, there is a song that we sing, and one phrase in there, there is wonder-working power in the blood. And how true that is, the wonder-working power. And in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, I entitled that, The Praise. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Christ is worthy of our praise because of the blood that was shed, because of the provisions that the shed blood of Christ provides for us. You know, many churches today, they do not want to be offensive. And so they have removed any song out of the hymnal that mentions the blood. And how sad that is. You know, the blood of Christ is essential for our life spiritually. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. When we get to heaven, Pastor Alan and I are going to be able to sing. And the songbook up there is going to have many songs about the blood of Christ. Because of its necessity. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, way back when God was going to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. So the blood upon the lintels and the doorposts caused the death angel to pass over them. And you and I have life. We will not face death. No, we might face death physically, but we will not face death spiritually because of the blood of Christ. And what a precious thing that is. And seeing that this is all true, we should it should affect our relationship to Christ. Just a simple little Bible study tonight. Just the blood of Christ. You know, when we think of the blood of Christ, we relate it to our salvation, and we ought to. It is. Without it, there can be no salvation. But the many benefits of the blood of Christ beyond just our salvation that we have for us. And I'm sure we study long enough, we'd find several others in the Bible as well. The blood of Christ is a necessity for our life spiritually. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank You so much tonight for Your willingness to leave the glories of heaven to come down to this sin-sick world, to give Your life, to shed Your blood that we might have life and have it more abundantly, and all the benefits that are ours as a result of the blood of Christ. And I pray, Lord, as we just looked at this simple little thing tonight, we pray, Lord, it may be encouragement, it might bring joy, realizing what Your blood has provided for us. Now, Lord, go with us as we leave this place tonight. Give safety as we return to home. We pray, Lord, You'd be with Pastor and Darcy as they return home tomorrow. Give them safety as well. Lord, I pray that You would lead us and guide us, that we would keep our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.